We are good to go.
I've seen it all. I have seen it all.
So, folks, there's pain and then there's pain.
Yep.
And then there's people who think that they are truly dealing with pain.
Can I set up the story? So we get into the building this morning and we get in here bright and early because we like to catch the worm.
Absolutely.
I open up the door. Dan, third man, pulls in.
Yep.
Gets the bag out of the car.
Yep.
Gets his briefcase. Mm-hmm. I put the tennis racket back into the boot, which fell out when he came out.
Yep.
Clearly, he's not playing tennis, but the kids are.
I thought he'd be a badminton type.
Looks like a badminton player,
yep.
Even paddleball or something like that, even totem tennis. And then he said, "Can you carry the bag?"
It's a big bag.
I said, "Hang on,
it's a big bag."
I said, "The talent doesn't carry bags." And he goes, and I said, "Why?" And he goes, "I've got an injury." And I'm thinking, "Oh, he must have hurt his hand or his wrist or his shoulder." No, he's cut his foot. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. You've cut your foot. Why can't you pick up a bag?
Yeah.
Like you've just driven your car here. You've got out of the car okay. There's a slight little limp. Then he goes on to tell me that he's cut his foot on the door.
Yes.
Went through the flywire screen, then the little thing. And I said, gee. He goes, I was in hospital. He said, good experience in hospital in the Cabrini. Got in there at 10:40, out there at 20 past one.
Hospital.
So it was just, all right, for a little cut. A little cut.
Jeez.
So I said, stitches, oh, yeah, lots of stitches.
I did not say lots of stitches.
You said lots of stitches. Yeah. I said, how many? You said three.
You guys.
So he's limping, right? Like, honestly, fair dinkum. You'd think he just had his leg chopped off in a mincer. Then we get up here and
He goes,
oh, it's knocking me around all this medication. And I said, what medication? I said, well, what type of medication? And you go, Panadine. And then he goes, Fort. I said, Benedict Ford, you're on codeine.
Oh, goodness me.
You had three stitches in your foot and you're on Benedict. And then he went on to say, but I had other medication in the hospital.
Was that a week ago?
What was the other medication?
Oh, I don't know. They gave me some tablets.
Oh, come on.
They gave me four tablets.
They gave me some M&Ms. You hungry.
Okay. I feel I'm being misrepresented here.
Well, what part of that story, other than lots of stitches,
did I put mayonnaise on? I did not believe I said lots of stitches.
No, I said other than that part of the story, which I put some mayonnaise on, which part wasn't correct?
Okay, it was correct.
Did you ask for a local for three stitches?
No, they gave me a local.
Oh, please.
Local was very painful.
What the hell's wrong with you? You got a man up, so no, I don't need that.
No, I don't need it. I want to feel it.
I want to enjoy this pain.
I didn't want it.
Guess what the doctor said? So when you have a foot injury, we all know what happens. The doctor will say, go home and elevate.
That's it.
He's complaining today while his leg's sore because he's been out and about.
You've got to elevate.
You've got to elevate because guess what? The blood flow runs to the foot, doesn't get out, keeps bleeding. Has your foot been bleeding, third man?
Possibly.
My goodness, you're the worst patient and the biggest sookie la-la pants we've come across.
You know, some people just enjoy
medication.
Some people enjoy being sick.
Yeah.
And I think third man's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I know the tablets were. We've just had an SMS from Cabrini.
Oh, yeah.
Aspirin. So you have been.
Okay.
You have been.
Oh, yeah, well, I can see he'd get a sniffle during the week.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be straight home. He'd have the cold rag on his forehead. Yeah. He'd ask it.
He had the Vicks on his chest. And yeah. He'd be, get the towel over the top.
Vicks on the chest actually is pretty good.
No, it is good. It is good.
It's good.
For a 5-year-old.
It reminds me when I was a kid, but Mum would get she'd put the Vicks on the chest and rub it on. It's great.
Now, the secret to Vicks is on the bottom of your feet, not at the moment for you.
I think the foot rip and the piss stuff has been exhausted.
Yep.
I think we need to move on. Goodness. Otherwise, it's just not a... I don't think people want to hear any more about it.
It's not a business idea.
Ooh, nice. I like this.
Here we go.
Are you ready to make billions? Not millions.
I'm ready to make millions and billions. But yeah, let's go.
Have you trademarked this?
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
We'll do we need to bring down the cone?
No.
No, we don't need it, but we need Brian Goldberg on speed dial, our patent specialist.
Well, I can see him out in the office. He's over in the other room, so we might talk to him after.
So, Brian, just buckle in.
I'll send a message down the bryze up.
Now, this... You into renovating?
Am I into renovating
your house?
I have done.
You've done some before, Mark?
I've done some, yeah.
Done painting?
No.
Do you know the key to painting is? preparation.
Is it?
Of course it is.
Sugar soap?
Yeah, that's probably the final step before you paint. Right. But you're into it.
Right.
So preparing the walls and the architraves and the skirts is really important.
And hang on, what's an architrave?
You know,
what's an architrave?
You know, that goes up along the door, and along the floor of the skirts.
Yeah.
So they're made of wood, not made of plaster. And if you're painting them, they have to be sanded.
Yeah.
But you can't do it with an orbital sander or a sander, you know.
Yeah.
You got to do it by hand.
Yeah, that's right.
So you got to get a block of wood and then you wrap the sandpaper around the block.
Of course
wood.
You do.
Got an idea. Sandpaper gloves. So you can just run your hand along the thing.
Disposable?
Disposable sandpaper gloves.
Disposable sandpaper gloves.
So you put them on and you just rub.
Hang on, this is going to work.
Of course it's going to work.
This is going to work.
Because the other thing with arcs and skirts is they're different shapes. Because some are rounded, some are square. So you can get your fingers, you just go up and down, up and down.
Not only that, people will have to buy multiple because you'll start out with the harsh ones and then you get finer and finer and finer.
So you go to one,
sandpaper gloves.
You go to 200 grit, down to 100 grit, down to and so forth. This is a winner. I've also got a name for it.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
The hand sandy.
Instead of the hand candy.
Instead of the hand shandy.
Hand shandy.
The hand sandy.
This is so good.
Get your hand into a hand sandy.
Mate.
I'm telling you, it'll go bonkers. So up and down, across. I think it'll work.
I think it has legs. Honestly, I know some of your business ideas, they can be a minor stretch.
Yeah.
Some of them. This one.
Yeah. No. So you buy, I don't know what it costs, but let's say $2.40.
Yeah.
We'll get it from Temu, my favourite website.
Yeah, Temu's good.
So $2.40, we'll sell them for $8.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Damn good.
Do you know, I use sandpaper on my golf grips because I like them being nice and tacky. If I had a box of hand shandies.
Sandies.
If I had a box of hand sandies, I would sit there and I would be stroking those grips.
Can you not ever do that movement again that you just did?
Talk about these golf clubs.
And they would be perfect.
Yeah, it'll work. It'll work.
That's a nice idea. You know what? I do think the name's very clever.
Hand sandy.
Yeah, very good. So you think billions?
Well, think about how many.
Yeah.
How many people are renovating right now?
Oh, no. I get it.
What about Handy Sandy?
Yeah, well, we can do that.
Could that be pretty handy?
Yeah, Handy Sandy.
Handy Sandy.
Well, the old Hand Sandy, though.
Yeah.
The old Hand Sandy.
I think it's a good name. You talked about Temu a second ago. Did Temu only start like 2 years ago or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
And now it's like a bazillion dollar business.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I get my golf towels from Temu.
Really?
I just get the black ones. It's the gym towel.
The greatest thongs in the history of thongs, right there.
So how much stuff are you buying on Temu at the moment?
There's nothing I'm not buying. From my Santa outfits to my Christmas decorations.
Just Santa outfits.
Yeah. To my muscle shirts.
Yeah.
You know, all the muscle shirts.
Yeah. Like
my golf tees.
The muscle apron that you wear.
So my golf tees are 2 cents each. 2 cents each.
What?
$2.
That's not bad. Can you get them printed?
1,000 for $20. No, but they only last one hit.
Oh, do they?
They only last one. Like they are made of the finest timbers.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's like balsa wood.
Is the top of it big enough to actually sit the ball on, or have they cut corners there?
Are you actually talking about golf balls? Have you seen the new golf ball?
Which
on
one?
The market?
Which one?
Trying to compete with Titleist.
As if they could. Yeah.
They're $25 a ball.
Please.
They're 25 yards longer than anyone else.
What, hot balls?
No, they're not hot. They're legal.
Are these the ones that Bryson was hitting the other day online?
I think so, yes.
I saw that video.
You can't have a golf ball that goes 25 metres further than other golf balls.
25 yards.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
Yeah. but it's $200 a dozen.
Show me this ball.
All right.
I want to see it because there was this bloke called Jumbo Ozaki.
Oh, yeah.
You would have heard of him. He was one of the greatest ever golfers. There was always talk that Jumbo's balls were hot, completely hot. And Greg Norman played with him in Japan. You're correct. The last thing you need is hot balls.
Yeah.
But you know why? Because you get a bad reputation if you got hot balls. And that was the end of Jumbo Ozaki.
Hang on. Explain what a hot golf ball is.
Well,
You can make a golf ball to look like a golf ball, but actually goes 25 metres further than a golf ball because there are measures in place to make them not so bouncy.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, you know, for instance, with these new drivers, if the club comes in at 100 miles per hour, that ball is not to leave the club face more than 150 miles per hour. So they put that, they stop it.
Yep.
But right. That's the ones that are regulation. There are other golf balls that Jumbo Ozaki allegedly was using that were just clearly hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely hot because Greg Norman noted that he would hit a 3-iron on a par 3 and Jumbo would have the same sort of club. But then off the tee, he was flying Greg by 30 metres. Now, that's a hot ball if ever I've seen one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, what club speed ball would you like to me quote you on?
Well, I'm up around 125 miles per hour these days.
Well, how many?
104.
Yeah, nice.
Well, 104.
Are you at 104?
Yeah, I've dropped right back.
Let's just say you're 105.
All right, that'll do.
Is that miles per hour?
Yeah, miles per hour.
Okay, so you'd be getting the hard ball.
Good.
It's the premium, shopping out. Now, the golf ball is called Adomax.
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 Give me a look at it.
For 12 golf balls.
Ooh. It looks like a very important box. $249. Is that Aussie or is that US?
Aussie.
My God.
$20 a ball.
It would want to go longer in straighter sport. Otherwise, there's going to be all kinds of trouble. And right. Spin.
The Adomax golf ball using amorphous metal alloy has been officially recognised as the world's longest distance golf ball, high density hyperplastic.
Yeah, hot balls. These are hot. These are hot balls. You can actually buy them. They won't be regulated. It will not fall under USGA. It will not fall under R&A. But your mates will never know, and you will pick up. Probably 40.
I still reckon the Pro V1X is still a much better
game. Yeah, of course it is. And that they play within the rules. This mob clearly does not play within the rules. They don't.
If you want to play within the rules, you go down and see Nick Arnold, the Titleist.
That's exactly
right.
He
is a rule abider, number one.
He runs a very tight ship.
I actually taught him how to swear. In fact, Nico never swore until he came away.
I don't believe you. He doesn't swear, mate. There's no way he swears. What, all of them? The biggie?
Oh, he drops everything.
Number one?
But only around his mates.
Yeah, okay.
You're playing good golf too, Nick. So well done to you.
I don't want to interrupt this riveting chat about the specifications of golf balls.
Hot balls.
But I've got a photo I want to show you. And Mark, I'm particularly keen in your response to this photo because you have not seen this yet.
I know.
This morning, I came out down my driveway to my car, which was parked on the side of the road.
Next to your world-class front lawn.
And you were hobbling.
Funny you say that.
And you were hobbling.
I was hobbling slightly.
In pain. Very, thank God for the medication.
Very funny you should mention the front lawn.
Well, it is award-winning. Don't you dare. A bomb?
This is what I saw.
Two bombs.
A bomb!
Look at that.
A dog bomb.
It's not a huge one, but it's enough to be annoying.
That's a small dog. It is a small dog. That's a cavoodle. That looks like cavoodle to me.
Now,
I don't understand how someone can walk along, let their dog do that in the middle of a nature strip and just keep walking.
Can you get fined? It is littering, isn't it?
Well, I think you probably
can. If you don't pick it up.
I think it is.
If you don't pick it up, is that littering?
If the dog is on a leash and you're holding that leash and you don't pick it up, I would suggest that is littering.
Well, I reckon forget about the leash. If you can identify the owner of the dog, it is your property. That dog is your property. He's leaving some of his property on your property, and as a result, he should be fined.
It's certainly very poor form.
What should the fine actually be?
$200.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
200.
200.
200.
Yeah, 200. Ooh. 200.
You got to send it. It's a deterrent. You got to send a message.
Yeah, and that fine should go to the lost dog's home or something like that.
That is a great idea.
Second offence?
400. Like our old one. Oh. We're not putting dogs down.
Oh, really?
No. Oh. We're not giving the dog a green
drink. Put the owners down, though.
No, that's what I was thinking about. Give the owners a... No, well, they should be. Maybe they should be, I don't know, given a armband to wear or something that they're a known offender.
Yeah, that's not silly.
Identification of serial dog... What do they call them? What would you call a serial dog...
Bomb offender.
Dog bomb offender.
A shitty human being.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
I'll tell you what, the funny thing, I just remembered a story about my old dog, Bailey, who's passed away now. Years ago when Bailey was like 3 years old, we were at a kids' sporting match and we're walking around and everyone's watching the game and I'm walking around the thing. And this lady's got a handbag on the ground there.
Yeah.
And he's off lead. He's gone over the handbag and he's had a leak in,
oh, no,
in the handbag. And she hasn't seen. No one's seen. And I'm not proud of what I did.
Oh, no.
I just kept walking.
Oh.
Because I didn't.
I don't think anyone wins there. I think that's a good decision to walk. You didn't want to blow up the situation.
No, I did not. I did not know how to start the conversation.
No, you don't.
Excuse me, ma'am. Have you got a moment?
My dog is just prime peeking.
See my dog Bailey here? Bailey has just had a leak in your handbag.
No, you let that one go. You just let it slide.
I let it go. You've got a horrified look on your face, Mark.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you'd have to train a dog to do that sort of thing. I mean, one, it's got to be very accurate, but two,
unless she had her chihuahua in her bag, like, you know, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And the dog just wanted to.
No. Gave a golden shower. gave another dog a golden shower.
Well, don't dogs pee where they can smell the scent of other dogs?
Can we please move on?
I think cats do as well.
When I came in here after making everyone a coffee, like I normally do.
Thank you very much.
You're the only one that knows how to make use a machine.
It's like a spaceship, that machine.
You guys were listening to a song and there was some kind of conversation that I missed and I feel left out. What's the story?
Oh, yeah.
What's the story?
All right. So the story is I listen to Smooth.
Hey, I listen to Smooth.
And we love Smooth and it's probably our demographic.
It's quite good.
When you're in your early 40s to mid-50s, that's us.
The DAB version, there's hardly any ads too.
It's good. So I've come across this song that I'd never heard before and I really, really like it. I thought it was a new song. I don't know, but I hadn't.
You've never heard it before and it's on Smooth?
Yeah, that's what. That's probably the oxymoron part about this.
Now we'll play it. Can
so
you play it?
Just play the song. And this will probably show my ignorance to music. Our love is a
lie. You've never heard this song before?
Well, I hadn't really. So I looked it up. I thought, who's this new young artist? Then I worked out. I didn't work out. I read.
It's a good song.
It was Susie Quattro. From 1976.
Wait, forgive me. Was she Pinky Tuscadero in Happy Days? That is correct.
The best ever.
That's right.
The bloke on that is Chris Norman from Smokey.
Remember is that
Smokey?
Right?
Yeah, remember Smokey?
Really? Is that him?
Lay back in the arms of someone. Yeah. Lay back in the arms. It's that one.
Can you never sing again?
Well done, stumbling. So, and I said to Dan, that song, twice a day. I'm sick of it now.
You hear it twice a day on the radio.
Twice a day on.
That's
You know Third Man the Geek did?
What did
he said? Radio. I don't reckon it's being played twice a day. I said, it is, mate. I'm telling you, I've got a good ear for music. So he opens up his laptop. Yeah. He goes to some program.
Well, he used to work at Oz Stereo, so he's probably got a few little tricks.
Yeah, but he's logged into their whole thing.
Are you allowed to log in these days?
There's a program that tells you what they do and don't play, and they played it once a day, not twice a day as you said. In fact, you even said three times a day.
I thought it was three times.
It was once.
Are you going from Smooth on the dial to Smooth DAB perhaps?
No, I'm just on the dial.
You know what I think's happening? There is a new version of it by a dude from Darwin called Cyril, which is a new dance version. So I reckon you're hearing that one on Smooth.
No, they wouldn't be doing a dance version of that on Smooth.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that version you're hearing on Smooth, and then you're punching around to other stations from time to time.
I don't punch, mate. I do not punch. I listen to Smooth or I listen to AW or I listen to SEN. They're the only three.
You listen to Smooth. That's your music station of choice.
Yeah.
You are so masculine.
But I'm into podcasts too. I love potties.
Which ones? I am these days.
I've just listened to the most interesting one I've ever listened to.
What was it?
Shadow of Doubt. I'm not going to tell you what it's about.
Crime? Because you love
it's crime. It's 9 hours. It is the best nine hours.
A 9 hour podcast.
But it is very, very.
Not in one go.
No. Three lots of three. So up and down from Albury.
No. So what? The podcast doesn't go for 9 hours.
No, they're 1 hour episodes.
Oh yeah.
So three lots of three. So I do three on the way up, three on the way back, three on the way up.
Why do you like crime?
Because I just like I like the pricks being caught.
Yeah.
And I like those that have been caught that are not guilty getting uncaught.
Yeah. You know what I like about it? I'm not as big into it as you. I like the genius behind some crime.
Oh, yeah. Some of
just
them are good.
Some of the things they've done, like some of those.
Shifty. Some shifty.
Like I reckon the movies, you know, was Ocean's 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the genius
yeah,
behind devising an unbelievable crime.
I loved it when the fox copped it at the end.
Oh, mate.
He thought he outsmarted him.
Yeah, it was good.
And he just, he got.
It was good.
He got double-ended.
Speaking of crime, I want to put it to you guys, and we'll have a break. We'll get a cup of coffee, get a glass of water. I want to put it to you, what is the perfect murder that you would commit if you had to commit a murder? How would you do it?
I know who.
Hold the thought.
Yeah. You need medication, all right?
Yeah, we'll find out after this.
Hey, you've got a Can We Still Be Friends as well.
Yeah, I do.
All right, we'll get to that next.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Couple of Blokes podcast with Ox and Marco, and as always, thanks to our great mates at E&S Trading. Make sure to subscribe and you'll never miss an episode, and it'd be great if you could rate and review us wherever you get your pods. So this is the new version. It's like the dance version of Stumbling By. This, he's an Aussie, a young Aussie DJ called Cyril, lives in Darwin.
Yeah, it sounds like this one better. Now so I am moving.
I was about to actually get stuck into you. I thought your medication had kicked in. That's good.
That is, it's good, yeah.
Can we get a hold of Cyril? Get him on the show?
Oh, I'm
see
sure.
What else he, what else
good
he
name,
could remix?
Cyril. You know most Cyril's, what's Cyril's nickname? If you were to nickname a Cyril, what do they call them?
I don't know.
I know two Cyrils who have got nicknamed both the same nickname.
What is it?
Spike.
Spike.
I don't know why, but they're both Spikes.
Well, if you know, can you get in touch with our socials, please? Yeah. Why are Cyrils Spike. Called Spikes? Yeah. What about, can you remember the show Blankety Blanks?
Of course I can.
And,
Ugly Dave Gray.
Ugly Dave Gray. Stuart Wagstaff.
Who was a Graham Kennedy?
Graham Kennedy. He was the funniest man in the history of Australian TV.
Apparently the weirdest too. Like he wasn't good to work for.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Graham Kennedy wasn't good to work for.
Can you remember his famous, a lot of people might have heard this, but he had the crow call and he would say it live on TV. Have you ever heard his crow call?
No.
It's very controversial.
I'll do it. But oh, remember, this is Graham Kennedy's impersonation of a crow. Fuck. Fuck.
He did it on radio. I did it on TV.
Yeah. But he was doing a crow. Just do the crow call.
You remember, the funny thing about Blankety Blanks was Dave Gray would be smoking a cigar the whole way through.
Yes.
The inappropriate jokes he'd tell about the girls on the panel.
Yeah.
Like, it was so... It's like Love Thy Neighbour.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, seriously, so outdated now.
Yeah, that's right. And so he'd read questions, you had to fill in the blank, and one of his famous characters was Cyril. Cyril said, he'd do it in a really flamboyant voice and the way he would go. It was very funny. It was funny.
I saw Yes Minister was on one of the channels, getting replayed. It was such a good show. Such a good show, Yes Minister.
Never watched it.
Oh,
yes
really?
Minister.
No, couldn't be bothered with Yes Minister.
It's a British show.
Yeah, what do you mean couldn't be bothered?
I'm not watching that crap.
What? Why do you say it's crap?
English humour. Crap.
English humour is okay.
Fawlty Towers?
Yeah, good.
Oh, so English humour is okay then.
I didn't like Fawlty Towers.
You didn't like Fawlty Towers?
No, I know.
See, I don't reckon I've watched the full episode. I only ever get clips of Fawlty Towers, but I think it's funny.
So English humour, let's go back here, Mark, is okay sometimes. I've turned into Jeffrey Robinson on a hypothetical.
I might bring up a stat. I don't know if this is true, but I think I've heard it somewhere along the line. And you know when stats stick with you?
Yeah, yeah.
How many episodes of the Thunderbirds do you reckon there were?
42.
I would say, yeah, I would have thought about 50 or 60.
14.
There was not.
Now, I don't know if that's right, but I remember hearing...
Ah, Siri.
Well, hey, 40 Towers only had 11 or 12 or something.
How many episodes of The Thunderbirds were made? 26 episodes.
26?
Yep.
It's still not very many, though, is it? I would have thought way more.
No, 20. Yeah.
Thunderbird 2 was my favourite.
No, one more stat for him.
And that island that they lived on.
What's the what's that new thing in Vegas or out in the desert, that new theatre?
Oh, the big dome.
The dome or the eye? Is it the?
I think it's called the dome. I could be wrong.
The dome. Do you know who was the first?
The sphere.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you.
Do you know who opened the sphere? Do you know who played there first?
No.
Oh, I know you two did a residency.
Yeah,
I
don't that's
think,
who it was.
Oh, right.
It was you too.
I think that's a good little trivia thing going forward.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been my pick to open it. See,
I think you should open every second half of our program with just a little bit of trivia from this point forward.
Who do you think should have opened it? Susie Quattro?
Oh, Susie. No.
Cyril.
I don't know.
Should have got Cyril.
I guess you two aren't a bad, they aren't a bad choice, but imagine if they had got ABBA back together. Well, imagine they had got ABBA back together for it.
Yeah, but hang on. I don't know if everyone loves you two, but they are one of the biggest rock bands of the world.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Who's bigger, you
two
or ABBA?
My favourite band.
Well, ABBA because of the scarcity, because ABBA have said they won't tour.
Okay, so imagine how good it would have been to get ABBA back.
Yeah, but you may as well say imagine getting the Beatles back. They're not going to do it.
You can't get the Beatles back because they're dead.
Well, ABBA
there's
have
only
said,
one left.
ABBA have said we're not ever going to tour.
But so did Coldplay. So did
Hang on. Did Ringo die?
There's only one left.
No, Ringo and Paul McCartney are still getting around.
Is Ringo still with us?
George Harrison's dead.
Yeah.
John Lennon
died early. In the 70s, yes. Yeah.
Is Ringo still alive?
Yeah, Ringo's still kicking around.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he's in trouble, though.
Is he?
I think he's in trouble.
He's a bit crook.
I don't want to preempt anything. And we don't want Ringo gone, but I honestly thought he was gone.
Now, you were pushing murder before we went to the
break. I wasn't pushing murder.
Well, speaking of death.
Over here.
Mr. Pettidine.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer over here.
If you were going to commit the perfect murder,
yeah,
how would you do it?
All right. Year 11 legal studies. Straight up. And I'll be honest with you, George Damakoukas was our teacher.
George Damakoukas?
Damakoukas.
Damakoukas.
Had a big hooter. Massive nose on him. But great fella, George. Like right. Really, really good. But I think he just resigned from Salesian College about a year ago.
Right.
So he's been in the business a long time.
Yeah.
I remember in legal studies one day, and we're talking about murder and, you know, all the crimes. He said, if you're going to kill someone, there's only one way to do it. You hit him in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there as a 15-year-old kid going, wow.
That makes sense.
It's not good advice from my year 11, dude. He goes, because back then, if you hit someone in the car, there was just no, they just didn't have the crimes or the CCTV. No, the judiciary. They just didn't have the laws in place to cover that off
because
it wasn't a known murder.
Well, as long as you didn't hit and run,
yeah,
so you could kill somebody.
So culpable driving was not really culpable driving. So back then, so a lot's changed in 40 years.
Was he saying that you could hit them but pretend that they were accidentally walking over the street or whatever?
Yeah, compared to shooting someone, you're going to do less time, basically.
Right.
If you do any time at all. But I haven't given a lot of thought because I don't like to think about murdering people, but...
So I always think that, yeah, you're going to get away with it. I would like to know the secrets, like I'd go to Russia. I'm calling Vladimir and I'm saying, hey, Vlad...
Oh, we'll get poison.
I've got a bloke around...
Just find some poison.
I got a bloke around the corner I know a little bit of help with. What can he do? And he would have 15 or 16 different ways.
Oh, he's an expert.
There'd be no dogs dropping bombs on his lawn.
No way in the world.
They drop one bomb and then every dog in the neighbourhood would be picked up, taken, and every owner of those dogs would be picked up and taken.
Yeah, I reckon he'd have ways to kill you slowly to make it really painful and then it'd be other ones with a blink of an eye and you're just gone.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you doing, a third man?
I've got a very, very clear view of how I'd do it.
All right.
I would stab them with
Jeez, I wasn't expecting that.
Neither was I.
Oh, hang on. I would stab them with an ice knife.
An ice knife? An ice pick?
No. Ice in the shape of a knife. Ice in the shape of a knife because...
Can I ask how you're going to grip it?
No fingerprints.
How are you going to grip it?
Gloves.
Get my hand sandies out. Mate, I'm if you use the hand sandies, no problem at all.
Well, you'd actually hang need on, it. You'd on. Need the hand, hang on, hang you'd need the hand sandy on. Because you need to grip it.
I know. Can I just tell you how flawed this is?
I know what you're about to say.
Why would you need an ice knife when you're wearing gloves anyway?
Yeah, that's right.
You can use any knife.
So, hang on.
So you're going to go freeze a knife. Into a shape yeah. of it, and then okay. you're going to use gloves anyway.
The whole premise was no fingerprints, and you're going to wear gloves anyway.
I may not have thought this through.
You would be apprehended within 48 hours, one of the great shows on TV. You'd be apprehended within 48 hours, you'd be locked up, and you're gone.
Oh,
because
my God.
You wanted to be the ice knife killer.
Jeez, you're the worst criminal of all time.
I would be, yeah.
Hey, speaking of bad criminals, your mate Trev, what's the latest? Have you caught up with him?
You know, Trevor, my
the bloke
thief.
Who stole stuff off your front yard.
He's sitting next to the third man.
What do you mean?
He's in the clink.
Oh, this is a new development.
Yeah, he's in the clink.
What happened? How'd they get him?
Broke his bail conditions a couple of times.
Yeah, okay. Does he need to check in?
But
the
I told you I've had three or four conversations with him.
Yeah, you told me he's a reasonable fella.
He walked past the other day and he goes, doing a great job, mate.
On the rebuild?
Yeah. I said, thanks, buddy. And he goes, nah, a lot of hard work going in there. I said, yeah, as long as people don't keep breaking in. And he kind of looked at me and goes, yeah, sorry, mate. Get walking.
Does he need to check in with the coppers every day? Is it on that sort of those terms?
Yeah, I think he might have gone too close to somebody or something. I don't know.
Do you reckon Trev could appear on our podcast?
No. So
we can't get Carey, we can't get Ponting. Why don't we get Trev?
I reckon you'd have more... luck in getting Ponting, to be honest. I don't know if Trev's our demographic.
Well, this is very bad news for Justin O'Connor, who wrote in this week and said, hey guys, can you get Trev on the show to explain his shenanigans?
Yeah, there you go.
No, he's non-verbal in some respect. He's non-verbal for half the day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, until
drink,
he's
drinker?
Own. Yeah.
A bit of everything. Oh, I think he
smoker?
Dabbles. Oh, I think he has a crack at most things.
Bongs?
Yeah, I think he's into everything. There's not a lot he's not into. But I'll tell you one thing. Yes. He doesn't wear shoes.
Oh.
He's a barefooter. Right. He just rocks around town in bare feet.
Really? No matter what he does?
No,
I don't advise
not
that.
Not even thongs?
No, you wouldn't advise it.
I don't advise it.
And he's on similar medication to you at the moment, yeah. Third man.
I bet he could handle pain.
Oh, of course he could handle pain. Yeah,
stop talking pain relief. What's the feedback, boys?
Hang on, before we do, I thought we had a can we still be friends?
Oh, okay. Well, let's do that.
What happened?
You know when you rock up to a mate's place?
Yeah.
And you're going to a barbecue or you're going for dinner?
Yeah.
And just say, Mark, you rocked up to my house and you brought two bottles of wine.
As I would. One white, one red.
And I'm hosting.
Yeah.
Can we still be friends if I don't ask you what you want? Or should you demand that those bottles be opened? Can I still be friends with you if you're wanting those opened and I don't want to open those ones first? Or once you've dropped those wines off, is that your gift to me and they remain there and I can do what I want with them?
I think if I'm bringing wine to your house, they are gifts to you.
As the host, do I then ask you, what do you want? Do you want me to open these or would you like something else?
Yeah, well, when I first walked in, I might want a beer. That might be the deal. But
if we were open wine at dinner and I said, should I ask or should I just open them up?
Well, I think if I've handed them to you, it's up to you. You're the host. Here is my gift. Thank you for inviting me to your dinner. You do what, you put them away, you do whatever you want.
What about if you brought a ripping, say, Craig Lee, a beautiful Craig Lee wine?
Well, I don't want that opened.
Yeah. So what about if I don't?
Well, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a big problem.
So this is the whole thing.
Don't open it first or don't open it at all?
Don't open it at all.
No, if I'm eyeballing
you, Craig Lee, I'm going to put it away for a better situation where I get more of it.
Can't be friends anymore. If I brought something special, if I just bought, you know, a couple of $25 specials, no worries.
Yeah.
Do whatever you like with them, mate. I don't care. But if I bought over the Craig Lee or a, you know, Penfold something or other, then I want to drink that thing.
That's why I'm bringing it over.
How many times, Marco, and be honest with our listeners, because I know you are honest. Yeah. I know you tell little fibs just to get the world right, keep the world going.
If you but tell me to be honest, I'll be honest.
How many times have you re-gifted wine?
Thousands and thousands.
Because you don't drink a lot of wine.
No, I don't.
And you get a lot of wine.
That's right. Every time I do a speak or a talk somewhere, they give me red wine as well. They're like, don't drink red wine.
And what do? You
I go, give them to somebody else.
Yeah, the next function. Yes. I think that's a good one because you're not going to use it.
They pass it forward.
There's nothing wrong with re-gifting wine, I think, in that situation. I think it's good.
I think re-gifting wine is one of the great re-gifts. There's not a lot you can re-gift, but that is one thing that is universal.
I've never had one come back. It's never done full circle.
Oh, imagine that. You know what you should do? You should put a little gold texter underneath the bottom.
Yes.
Imagine it came back to you.
I'm going to start doing that. Just one of those little dots.
Yeah, just put a little dot underneath. No one will even know what you're talking about. All right, feedback.
All righty. Smokey's written in.
Oh, yes, Smokey.
Now you've had Wayne Carey on. That was fun.
Is that Smokey Dawson?
We didn't really have Wayne on.
He
was on. We chatted to him.
I've heard his voice live.
But it wasn't really fit for purpose what happened, was it?
Well, he was busy, but he still spoke to us. It's better than what Ponting's given us.
Smokey has said, now that we've had Wayne on, when is Ricky on, Marco?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
I mean, I'm working on it.
You know what would have been good? To speak to Ricky on the back of the Tassie announcement.
Oh, that would have been
good. Yeah, that would have been okay.
That would have been great.
That would have been okay. Listen, Operation Bourbon and Beefsteak is continuing.
And Turak.
We've found a few.
Bourbon
and Beefsteak.
Turak.
Tim wrote in and said, hey, Duck might have been a little bit brief, but he gave more time than one R. Ponting has.
Oh, see that. Yes. I'm disappointed. Duck's a good bloke.
Ricky's a very nice person.
I haven't spoken to him for a long time. I wouldn't know.
Lots of comments on your return to Footy Ox. Literally, there have been dozens and dozens and dozens. There was a couple of nice ones that I thought we'd read.
Can I give you my nice one? I'm driving along. We've got the whole family in the car.
Oh, sorry.
We put him on and they go, what should he do here, Ox? And there's a bloke who's having trouble kicking for goal. He goes, what this bloke should do is pick out one of those buff heads behind the goals and aim straight and put it right down his throat. The delivery was just very, you're very, very good.
No, thank you.
When you're commentating footy on the radio.
Kane Brewster wrote in and said, Ox is one of the nicest and most genuine people I've met. I saw him at a golf event and he couldn't have been more engaging with me. By the way, his book, a must read as well.
Yeah. I bet he played well that day.
Must have been drunk.
Ian has said, love your work, Big Theo. You are missed and welcome back. Marco, you go all right too.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Which is nice.
That's nice.
Marco's busy at another network.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm busy. Now. I'm busy quite a number of places.
Really?
Never stop.
Hey, can I just mention one thing about your work?
Please.
Any five ring action happening?
Five ring?
Yeah.
What do you mean five ring?
Well, I don't know. You work it out.
Five ring. I don't know what that means.
Oh, hang on. What's got five rings, Marco?
Yeah, it's top secret.
Can we keep it? Can our listeners know? Can we just the potties know that you might be going or you might be getting a tattoo or?
Nah, leave it at that.
Ooh, he's looking very cagey.
Oh,
Brian has said, the Ox is brilliant on the air. No hype, no repetitive spreadsheets of useless and boring stats.
Yes.
What you are guaranteed is interesting analysis and the best real-world insights.
Yeah.
Was that Mary?
Mary Schwartz?
Like my mum.
That was Brian. Now, this one, last comment on this one, and this could, I don't know where this is going here.
Okay.
Maddo has written in, Maddo Fiddler.
Yeah.
You're a legend, Ox. Good on you, mate. By the way, do you remember coming to Mount Isa?
Yes, I do. I went up there and did a clinic.
A clinic?
Yep. We did an AFL clinic. Who was with me?
Well, you're teaching kids to...
Yeah, no, we're doing...
Handball with their left and right hand.
Yeah, you didn't have to teach them much.
Really?
The kids up there were as gifted as any kids you've ever seen.
Nice.
I went to a dodgy pub. Who was I with?
You in a dodgy pub?
Was it Luke Darcy?
Who would have been?
I can't remember who I was with, but I was...
Say that again.
I'm telling you now, there were some dodgy pubs in Mount Isa.
Really?
Some really...
I
but it was beautiful. The outback, the kids out there, there was one little... I remember one little boy had this green jumper on and he was as good as... He just picks it up one hand, goes on the left, goes on the other side on the right. And they just won't get the opportunity to... a lot of them don't get the opportunity because they live in remote areas.
What do all dodgy pubs have in common? 7 a.m., the doors are open.
Yes.
Early openers.
Every single pub that opens at 7 a.m. is dodgy.
Yep.
Yeah. Last bit of feedback here, and this is a whack. And it's a whack for a certain D. Schwartz.
Good.
Tim has said, this is in relation to the bonus pod where we talked about Trevors, and you were talking about your famous Trevors.
Oh, and you know, I was driving home after this and I thought of some unbelievable Trevors.
Well, this is the feedback. So who were the three that you named?
Trevor Barker.
Yep.
Trevor Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Trevor Marmalade.
All good Trevors, Mark.
Great Trevors.
Tim Field has written in.
Yes.
Ox, what about the greatest Trevor of all? Trevor Hendy.
Yeah.
He was on the Nutri-Grain box set for a little while?
Yeah. And Paul Baker has said, I nearly drove off the road listening to that when Trevor Hendy was not at number one. He is a legend.
Yep.
He's more of a legend up north in Queensland.
I always thought that I was a chance to get on the Nutri-Grain box.
Well,
I always thought I was.
In the headband era?
Yep. And then I looked at Trevor Hendy's body and I thought, no, I'm going on the Fruit Loop box. Because I can't. Like, seriously, Trevor Hendy and who was the other one? Grant Kenny.
Yeah.
Those blokes.
Dean Mercer, Darren Mercer.
Goodness me, they had some. Like, they just obviously worked out. That was bloody Iron Man. That's why. So, brilliant.
Time to spin the wheel.
All right. What is it?
Oh, for goodness sake.
What is it?
It's a cereal joke.
A cereal joke.
Have you got one? I'll go first. What is a musician's favourite cereal?
I don't know. What is it?
Flute Loops.
What's scary and loves breakfast?
I don't know.
A serial killer.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Well done.
And right. How does Reese eat a cereal?
I don't know.
With a spoon.
No. See you, boys.
See you guys.
And thanks for listening to the Couple of Blokes podcast with Ox and Marco. And if you get a chance to share it with a friend, that'd be fantastic. Massive thanks to the team at the E&S Trading Clearance Centre in Clayton on Dandenong Road. And if you're not in Melbourne, you can check them out online. Some massive savings. Couple of Blokes executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media and sound design from Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com. We'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.